Kaplan, Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
We wanted to talk to this guy. Billy Donovan, head coach of our Chicago Bulls.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Really happy.
We were literally sitting in the conference room. Billy, good morning. Hoodie and I were sitting in the conference room going, we got to talk to Billy. I mean, I knew you when you were an assistant coach. Here you are, the coach of our Bulls. And you guys have turned this thing completely around, revamped the roster. How are you feeling this morning, 4-0?
Well, I mean, obviously we're excited to be 4-0, but I think when you go through it, you know, we're fortunate. You know, we had some really hard-fought games, you know, in the Detroit game, the opener. And then certainly, you know, we were fortunate to hold on against Toronto. So a lot of times your record could look a little bit different. You know, we're excited to be 4-0, but we also understand that there's a lot of growth that we've got to make as a team, and rightfully so, just because it's obviously early in the year and we got an entirely new team, new players, and they're all learning to play with one another. But it's been a great group to work with and a good group of guys. And I think if our mindset can be on continuing to evolve and get better, that's where I think we really need to place our focus right now. So we got a lot of games left to play, a lot of good teams coming up here, and the schedule certainly gets more and more demanding as we go forward. So like I said, we got a lot of work in front of us.
Billy, as a guard yourself, I know there's a checklist in your head on what to do as a lead guard. So when you see Lonzo Ball, what does he do well that you like?
Well, he's got a really, really good feel of how to play, and he's obviously an exceptional passer. I think for us to help him, you know, it's really important that we run and we get out in transition and really try to push the pace, because not only with Lonzo, but with Zach and DeMar and Vooch and even Patrick Williams, Caruso, we've got a good passing team. And the more we can run and move, the more we can get our passing involved. But, you know, Lonzo was a pass-first guy. I give him a lot of credit, you know, from where he was as a rookie, the way he shot the ball from behind the three-point line to where he is now. He's putting an incredible amount of work into that. I think he'll continue to grow and get better. Yeah, I think people look at him and think that, you know, the guy's been in the league for a long time, and he has, but, you know, he's still very young, and he still has a lot of room for improvement. He's a great worker, and I think he wants to be a terrific player and wants to reach his potential. But if you look at just his strengths, it's his ability to pass the ball and make decisions.
I got to ask you about trying to blend different personalities, different types of players, but you have last year, Zach is trying to facilitate the offense. He's trying to score 28 points a game. He's trying to attack the rim, knock down threes. Then you got DeMar who comes in. Everything runs through him where he's at. And then you've got Lonzo trying to develop chemistry with them. And, oh, by the way, Vooch got traded midseason and everything ran through him down in Orlando. How tough is it to blend all that into a cohesive offense?
Well, I think that's the hard part, because I think people look at the offensive personnel and just think that, oh, they're going to score. And, you know, if you look at, you know, some of our games, you know, half our games, we haven't even broken 100. So we've got to learn how to play with one another. The thing that's great with these guys is I'd say they're all incredibly unselfish. I think they're all willing to sacrifice and give up something that maybe they had in the past, where you mentioned, you know, they were kind of the featured guy, and now they've got to learn how to coexist. And that takes some time. And they've got to learn how to play off each other, with each other. And also, I think, you know, understanding how we've got to try to play to get their skill set into games. And, you know, DeMar averaged 7 assists a game in San Antonio last year. Zach has always been a willing passer. You know, I mentioned about Lonzo's ability to pass. Vucevic is a terrific passer. Caruso off the bench is a good passer. So we've got a group that's really unselfish. It's got to learn how to play with each other out there on the court and flow and, you know, recognize who's got a hot hand, who's playing well, who's maybe got the correct matchup. But that's really the evolution piece for us, you know, is how well we all can coexist. But I would say that they're all in a frame of mind in a place that, you know, they're probably all willing to give up a little piece of maybe what they had in the past for the benefit of being a good team and trying to put ourselves in position to win.
Coach, I'm looking at the effort on the defensive end, especially from Zach LaVine, and maybe just my TV, but I see even a greater effort on the defensive end from him so far this year. When do you know when your team is consistent defensively?
Yeah, I mean, we have breakdowns. One of the things that always happens, I think, this time of year for most teams is you're always trying to establish a defensive identity first, and your offense kind of evolves. You know, we'll get into situations where you'll have to tweak and change things. Maybe there's things you looked at that you thought starting in early in the year would be really good and turned out to be not so great. You kind of scrap that. You add different things. You tweak. You're going to be doing that. I think with Zach, you know, he has if you look at his career, you know, what he's gone through, and some of this stuff is not even necessarily on Zach. I mean, I was his sixth coach in 6 years. I mean, that's awful difficult to be able to handle for somebody that, you know, is early in his career. And then he's trying to establish himself as a player. I think the experience last year of the level he took himself to as a player, making his first All-Star, getting selected on the Olympic team, being around the likes of the Kevin Durant, the Damian Lillard. I know Brad Beal didn't travel, but he was there. Draymond Green. There was just so many great players he was around. And I think he, you know, obviously probably took a lot from that experience. And I think we all grow through our own experiences. But, you know, he understands, I think, that, you know, one of the things for him last year was there was, as you mentioned earlier, there was so much on his plate in terms of handling the ball, driving to the basket, having the score. It's really, really physically demanding to be play both level of offense and defense for 36 minutes a night. I think now that Vooch is here and DeMar's here, Lonzo's here, and we've got other handlers and playmakers, it can take some of it off of him. But the thing that I think he's really focused on coming into this season was getting himself in unbelievable shape to be able to do that, to be able to play both ends. And I do agree with you. I think he's made some significant strides defensively. He's gotten better. He's got more than the physical tools to be a really outstanding two-way player.
We're talking to Bulls coach Billy Donovan here on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. Billy, I want to go back to you leave Oklahoma City. We had Arturis on one day, and he said, I called Billy, and Billy said to me, you can tell us if we're wrong, but he said, I called Billy and you said, I'm driving back to Gainesville. I've been in the bubble. I have not seen my family. You got to give me some time. And he said, I told him, that's one thing we don't have. I'm coming down there on Friday. And he flew in and he laid out his vision for what he was going to do, that the Reinsdorfs were on board with whatever it's going to take, fix this thing. And he said, I told Billy, you're my guy. I'm not going anywhere else. Let's get it done. Is that how it went down? Because it seems that that's how he rebuilt the roster with Mark this summer.
Well, some of it's actually accurate. What ended up, he actually did give me a couple days. We met on a Monday. So I believe that I drove back. My family, because of the pandemic, I had a daughter who was a senior in high school at that time. She'd moved into her freshman, senior year, and she was getting ready to go to college. But when she ended up having basically the school year canceled and everything was being done virtually, my wife went down to Florida for spring break, and they never came back. So when the pandemic hit in that, whenever it was in March, I was pretty much locked into Oklahoma City, could not know what was going to happen. I ended up going back to Florida for about a month, and then I came back in June, and then we went to the bubble. And then my daughter was getting ready to go into her freshman year of college. So I was actually driving back after I finished up in Oklahoma City, and I was driving back from Oklahoma City to Florida because we have a home there. And I hadn't seen my wife or my kids in almost 3 months. And I got a phone call driving back that Arturis wanted to come in, and I just said, listen, I haven't even seen my family. Can I at least get till Monday? So he ended up coming in first thing on Monday, he and Mark, and we sat down and had a great talk and, you know, really, really was incredibly impressed with all the things that he had to say. And I think the relationship, the working piece of it, working together, the partnership has been wonderful. It's been great, you know, for the first, you know, year here, and you know, Arturas has been nothing but great to me.
Coach, besides looking at film and there for game day, you got to be doing something else, man. Your head will explode if you're just watching film the entire time. What do you do in your downtime?
Well, I mean, I generally get in here pretty early and I start watching film. It depends on what kind of day it is, whether it's a game day or a, you know, a practice day or a travel day. But, you know, generally, you know, I'll get up, get in here early. I'll start preparing whatever it is, whether it's shoot around or a practice or getting ready, you know, for the next day. But, yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of film, you know, We got a new team and got to try to figure out ways to try to help the group. But, yeah, I mean, I do spend a lot of time. The other thing I really try to do, and I feel better when I do this, is I really try to work out on a consistent basis. When I do that and I can eat well, I feel better. You know, some days on road trips, it's a little bit difficult to get to bed, you know, at a decent hour because you're traveling. But I try to, when I can, get to bed early and get up early and then just try to work out, because there's so many games, there's so many days. I would say I have no idea whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I just know it's either a practice day, a game day, or an all-travel day. It's like one of those 3 days. So that's kind of what I do. I really try to get, you know, I try to work out. I feel better when I do that.
I understand that, Coach. But, I mean, are assistants or players telling you what's happening in the world? It's like the Dave Wannstedt story, right, the former coach for the Bears. He sleeps on the couch. He's going through film. He comes home. He goes, "Hun, when do we get this piano?" He goes, "You know, Dave, we've been here 3 years. We moved in with this piano."
Right.
So I was like, that's not you, is it, Billy? I mean, come on now.
That's happened a few times. I can't lie. You know, when we ended up moving here to Chicago, we had to move stuff. And there was times my wife said to me, "That's been here for the last 2 weeks. You just recognized it?" You know, that's happened a few times. But, I, you know, for me, you know, You want to make sure that, you know, you're prepared and you're working. And like I said, we got a lot of work in front of us here. And I enjoy that. You know, I really love my job. I love what I do. So a lot of times for me, it's not work. I do think that, you know, when you get into like some of these situations where you get really cut down on sleep and cut down on working out, I just don't know if you can be as productive as you need to be. And sometimes it's hard to get around. It's just the way it is. But, you know, like even coming off a back-to-back, you know, previously when we played New Orleans and you're watching that film and then you're going back and watching film of Detroit because you played in the first game and you got them on a back-to-back and you're getting to bed late, you're getting up early. You know, those days can be a little bit challenging, but you got to try to, I think, you know, just for yourself to be fresh and to have, you know, I think a good mindset, you know, just trying to get the rest when you can get rest. But, you know, when you're not doing that, you're either working out or you're watching film or meeting with players.
Hey, before we let you go, I know you got to get to a meeting. Joakim's going to be honored tomorrow night. The Knicks and Tibbs are coming back in. What are your emotions thinking about all you accomplished with Joakim? And then he went on to have this great career. He's an iconic player in Bulls history.
Well, one, it makes me feel old, you know, just because he's not even playing anymore. You right. know, it's interesting. Torian Green, who was a starting point guard on that team, is on our player development staff now. And it's amazing how old all these guys are now. It's just like years go incredibly fast. But, you know, as a coach, you're fortunate when you can come in contact with a player like Joakim. I mean, in a lot of ways, he changed my life, you know, with what that team was able to do in Florida. He's as genuine, authentic, and real as a person as you're ever going to find. The one thing I admired about him more than anything is he's true to who he is as a person. He is really selfless. He's all about winning, and he's all about the team. And he's great in your locker room. And nothing else is more important than the team playing well and the team winning. And he'll make any sacrifice to do that. And the thing I love being around him is just his energy, his motor, and his enthusiasm for life. He is the same way every single day. People would always say to me when he was on the court, I said, like, he's like that off the court. He is filled with energy and enthusiasm for people in life, and he is just a special, special person in my heart.
Hey, man, we really appreciate you taking time. Hope we get to connect again soon, and best of luck. People are just really, really excited with what you're accomplishing.
Well, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Billy.
We'll talk to you soon. There he is, Billy Donovan, head coach of the Chicago Bulls. 4-0, only two undefeated teams left, one in the East. That's our Bulls.
Absolutely. And the Knicks are coming, and that's going to be a great collision course there because the Knicks are on a roll as well. They played well yesterday against the 76ers, and so this will be the biggest test the Bulls have had to date.
By the way, Barkley went on TNT and guaranteed the Bulls are beating the Knicks tomorrow. So take the Knicks plus the points.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Exactly
yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
There you go. Or on the money line. 312-332.
I'll do that right now.
3776. Go Bulls. We'll be right back. Why is Allen Robinson not connecting with Justin Fields this season? He'll give you his answer. Week next.
DraftKings.